Well, if you aren't fighting a battle right now, tell me where you live because I'm coming over there.
This is Nero Feliciano, and welcome to the All Things Life podcast. I'm a wife, a mom of four, and a cognitive psychotherapist. And I'm really excited to share these conversations and interviews with you that will hopefully help you live a healthier, fuller, and more peaceful life.
Well, happy Sunday, everyone. It is yet another Sunday, and I hope you're doing well. I know there's so much uncertainty right now in the world. Many of us are watching to see what happens over the next few weeks as we head into Thanksgiving. And as therapists, we're seeing a lot of anxiety, as I've talked about before, which is normal when we are in a period of unknown. So I thought today would be a good day to talk about fighting battles. I feel like so many people I know are fighting different battles. Maybe it's a battle of too much together time with your spouse as you've both been working at home for the last 8 months, or maybe it's with your kids who want to do things that you're not comfortable with. I definitely got into a little battle with my fiery 7-year-old about not going to a birthday party where there were going to be 20 kids outside. I'm not comfortable with that yet. I wish I was, but I'm not. Maybe it's battles at work. Maybe it's battles just within yourself with anxiety or trying to figure out what you want out of life, what your purpose is, other than the day-to-day, every same old thing. There's so many battles that people are fighting right now. And, you know, it is causing us into this place of anxiety. It's causing us into places of depression. And I really believe that God has given us a clear word on how to navigate these battles. And this conversation actually came up yesterday in a session. I do probably anywhere from 9 to 10 sessions in a row on my Thursdays. I like to kind of get the majority of them done in one day, so I have time to do other things during the week, like this podcast. And the beauty of having worked with clients over a long period of time, many of my clients have been with me for several years, and you know, some come in and out of therapy, and some I've been working with fairly consistently, usually around anxiety, is that I get to see their history. I get to see their resilience. I get to see their strengths and what they've gone through. And I've also gotten to see, for many of them, their faith journey, because I do have a lot of clients who are people of faith. And I get to remember things that they forget. So when they come into a place where they are fighting another battle, where they're in another situation that's really difficult, they might not remember some things, but because I've known them for a while, I do. And it's a beautiful thing to be able to remind somebody of that and actually have it resonate with them and help them in the moment that they're in. And I had one of those moments yesterday with a client. I have a young client. She's in her late 20s, maybe she's in her mid-30s now, or early 30s. And she was going through a really tough situation at work. And on top of, and this is true for anybody. So say we are pretty good at managing a certain stressor that we've had before in the past. It's nothing new for us. But now that stressor, in the face of a pandemic, during COVID, with so much uncertainty, becomes a little bit too much. It can be that one thing that puts us over the edge, that triggers us into a place of what feels like unmanageable anxiety or even depression. And that's what we're seeing with many people who have experienced anxiety before during this time. So she was talking to me about a situation that was really difficult for her. And there were some things that she said that just reminded me of something I read that morning in my devotion. And that always happens. That actually happens often, where I'm reading something in the morning in my own time of meditation and prayer, and God just brings that back to my mind when I'm working with a certain client. And it's not only then a message for me, it's a message for them. So I was listening to her story, and that's really an important piece of communication with anyone who's going through something. Before we want to jump to offer them any solutions or suggestions, we want to make sure we've really given them space. We call that holding space for someone to tell their story, to talk through whatever they're going through, because that in and of itself, believe it or not, can bring a lot of healing and peace, allowing someone room to just get it all out. So I heard her story and we talked about it a little bit and just validated, yes, this is stressful. Many people would be stressed in this situation. It can be overwhelming. But here's something that I read this morning that I think would help you. And by the way, she gave me permission to share this story. She was feeling very much like, I don't know what to do. I don't see a solution in this. I don't think there's anything I can do besides what I've done. So that was what triggered what I read that morning. That devotional came back to my mind. And I think it's something that could help many of us right now. The title of that devotional was Think About the Things That Concern God. So what this says is stop thinking about the things that concern you, the challenges, the problems, the mistakes, and start thinking instead about the things that concern Christ and his kingdom. Now, let me tell you, that is not something I tell my clients. Stop thinking about that stuff that worries you. Don't worry about it. That's not my job. But I believe that there's a message in this. And it goes on to say, I assure you that as you shift your focus off yourself and onto him, he will turn his attention to those things that concern you. He has you covered. He has your challenges and problems figured out and is working all of them for your betterment as you stay prayerful. So concern yourself with one thing, following him completely, and trust that he cares about what you care about. He will not leave you helpless. So it's not just about don't worry about it. It's about stay close to God during those times. Make time to listen. Make time to pray about those things. And then go on and pay attention to the things that concern God. Maybe that's helping somebody else. Maybe that's living your life as full as possible. Maybe that is doing whatever God is calling you to do in that moment or that day. And you can do this because you're trusting that God has a solution worked out for you. So it's not just about don't worry about it. It's more trust God. Give him that trust. And when we do that, we offer him our faith. We're saying, we know that you can make a way here. We know that you have a solution. We know that you know what concerns us. You're close to us. And we know that you have this figured out. So when we do that, we actually are shifting our focus, but we're doing so knowing that God is going to show us what to do when we need to do it to come to a solution. And sometimes he won't show us anything because he will take care of it as we give him our faith. That devotional goes on to talk about Romans 8:28, which is all things work for good for those who love God. And that there is so much truth in that verse that God uses all things. It doesn't mean all things are good, but it means that God can use all things for good. So I was sharing this with my client in session, who obviously is a person of faith, of strong faith. And she said, this is so true. And we were able to talk about times in her life where this had actually happened. And oftentimes when we are stuck, if you think back onto when has God shown up for me in the past? When have I been in a situation that has been so hard that I didn't see a way out, but I did get through it? There was a way out. Maybe there was even something good that came out of it, and God showed up. That actually, friends, is a way to practice cognitive therapy. We look on what was real and what was true, as it says in Philippians, instead of what our perceived reality is, what is creating the anxiety that oftentimes hasn't even happened yet, but may be triggered by the discomfort of the situation we're in the present. We remember what has happened in the past that actually was true. And this can motivate us to keep going and to have faith that we can get through whatever it is that's in front of us. So as we kept talking in session, I had a thought that just popped into my mind. And that's often how, if you've heard this podcast before, especially the Soulful Sundays, and if you're new to the podcast, Soulful Sundays is where we have these conversations about faith and spirituality. This is how I get a thought that will pop into my mind. And this time it was from a verse. And I knew a part of the verse, but I didn't know where to find it. So I looked it up on Google, which is where I look for a lot of my verses, especially in that moment that I'm in session. And I said, I think I have a verse for you. And this verse is actually what I want to talk about the most in session. It is from Exodus, which is one of the first few books in the Old Testament of the Bible, chapter 14, verse 14. And what this verse says is, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. And that was a verse that actually popped into my mind. I just didn't remember where it was from. I don't even think I knew where it was from. It was just those words that popped into my mind. And that, I felt, was her message that God needed her to know, that she didn't really have to do anything in this situation. She just needed to be still. So as I was looking around this verse, because it's always good to know the context, there was a greater message. So what had happened was that God had brought the Israelites out of Egypt. And in order for him to do that, there were many miracles that happened. God had called Moses to go and speak to Pharaoh. And Moses was very nervous about this. He wasn't a great speaker. To tell him that God said to let the Egyptians go, just like that, let them go. And of course, the Pharaoh did not want to do that, because the Egyptians had been their slaves for over 430 years. And he did not want to lose that. So what God had to do was many, many miracles. That's where we hear about the 10 plagues. And finally, on the last miracle, where he took the firstborn son of every Egyptian family, Pharaoh was worn down and let these people go. So here the Israelites are leaving with Moses. And what happened was, they got to the Red Sea, and there were mountains on either side of them. And the Egyptians, Pharaoh had changed his mind and sent them after the Israelites with their entire army. So here they had gotten through what they thought was the worst. They had nowhere to go. They were faced with a Red Sea, and they were starting to get scared and afraid and anxious. And they started to complain, and they started to blame Moses for what he had done, because they were terrified. They thought they were going to die in that moment. And in that moment, they also had forgotten everything that God did to get them out of Egypt. And that is the same, as we saw with my client, as I've experienced myself today. We forget in that moment of fear how God has brought us to where he has in the present, the times that God has fought for us, the times that God has made ways for us and taken care of things in our life. But that's what fear does. We focus on the what ifs and impending danger when there is impending danger, and we forget about the fact that God is bigger than all of that. So it was at that moment where Moses said to the people, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. And he's telling them, don't be afraid. He said that before. Now, Moses was someone with great faith. So God heard Moses say this. And in verse 15, God says to Moses, then the Lord says to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. And that verse right there, why are you crying out to me? Just tell them to move on, was something that I read during the session with this client that reminded me of something that my daughter, Sophia, had told me about several weeks ago, maybe 4 or 5 weeks ago. Now, Sophia is tiny. She's petite for her age. She's 9 years old, and she plays soccer. And she has decided that she wants to be a goalie in soccer. She's a decent goalie, and she likes it. But, you know, she's tiny, and that's a big goal. And as a parent, I don't know what parent really wants their kids to play goalie and get, like, whacked in the head and in the face. But especially when they're tiny, like this one. Tiny but mighty, right? So we were talking about this, and I said to her, because I had watched her in a game and she had a lot of great saves. And it's amazing when you look at your kids and they kind of surpass your expectations for them. Although I think I sometimes set the bar low. And I said to her, don't you get scared? And she said, yes, I get nervous, but then I say, okay, get ready. And I just focus on the ball. And I said, well, what can you do if you do get scared? So she was telling me a couple of things that she does. She knows that she has done this before. She really focuses on what's going on in the game. And I said to her, you know, you can also ask God for help if you get scared or nervous or overwhelmed. And at that point, she turned to me and looked at me and she said, Mama, I don't even need to cry out to God for help when I need help. Because when I need help, He knows I need help and He's already there. And I can't even tell you how that blew me away, that at 9 years old, she knows that. She knows it. And as I was reading this, I see the Lord say to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me?" Because He's saying, "I already know you need help. I'm already there." And then I love what this verse says next. It says, "Tell the Israelites to move on." Verse 16 says, "Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground." And this is, I mean, this whole story is amazing. It's one that we refer to often in terms of our faith. In the Jewish faith, they do as well. And as I was thinking about it, there was so much that was just said in these few verses. Number one, it says, move on. You don't have to worry. Move on, because I am going to make a way for you. And that's exactly what that devotional said that morning that I read. Don't worry, because you're trusting that God already has this covered. Move on. Think about the things that God wants you to think about. He doesn't want you to worry. He wants you to move on and do the next thing He's calling you to do. And we're going to get to that in a minute. And then I love that He then says, raise your staff and stretch your hand over the sea. What God did was He took what Moses already had. He had a staff. He had a staff in His hand, and He used what Moses already had. It wasn't something that Moses needed to get or to strive for or to work for. Because Moses had that faith in God and trusted God, God used what he already had. And I know that that's how God works in our lives. He will make a way where there is no way, as He did in this Red Sea, and He will use what we already have to get us there, whether that's something that we have in our personality, in our own resilience, in our own circle of people we know, or things or possessions. He will use what we have, or He will bring us what we need to do what we need to do. I was reading a commentary on this particular verse, and what it said is, if God allowed you to get to that point, or even if God brought you there Himself, and it's a difficult spot, we have to trust that God has the ability to make a way and get us out of it. This morning, I was reading through an email I got, and this email had a prophetic word in it. And there was this one line that was bolded, I don't know, one of those words, in the email. And it said, if you think you know or you've seen everything that God can do, you haven't. Because God is limitless. As I've said before, He doesn't fit in the boxes that we've constructed for Him. He can do far more than we expect of Him, because He never runs out of ways to do things, to accomplish things. And I'm excited to share with you more stories as we go on in this podcast, in the ways that I've seen God do this, in the ways that other people have seen God do this, because these are things that strengthen our faith. Sometimes we have to borrow the faith of other people and just embrace it in our own life, that if God has done that for someone else, He can do it for you. You are just as valuable as every other person. Whether you have great faith or whether you have little faith, God still wants to do the same things in your life. As I was talking to that client, she said to me, I don't really understand why this is happening, because I feel like this is where I was meant to be. This is where I know I have my purpose. I was meant to do what I'm doing right now. And this is where we talk a little bit about resistance and what's called spiritual warfare. Now, that is just forces, spiritual forces that come up against us when we are actually in the line of our purpose, when we're in the right place. We believe that there's a very real enemy that has seen what God has for us on the other side of challenges, on the other side of struggles. And He does not want us to get there. He does not want us to accomplish the purposes God has for us. And He doesn't want us to believe that God is who God says He is. So that's what happens during these times when we're moving towards our purpose. And actually, the secular world has identified this idea of resistance. We might call it warfare in the Christian sense, but but resistance is a very popular term. There is an author named Stephen Pressfield who wrote the book, The War of Art, and he says they have identified something called resistance in the creative world, that when you're moving to a higher level of your purpose, a higher level of who you are, you're evolving into that person, you will come against resistance, things and situations and people that will stop you, that will prevent you from getting there. But if we can overcome that resistance, we actually enter into a new level that we were meant to be at. So uses different terms, but same concept. So what I said to this client was, I've often found that when I encounter resistance, yes, it's discouraging, but also it's a confirmation that I'm exactly where I need to be. Because if I was not doing what God wanted me to do, I might not experience any resistance. Then you're no longer a threat to the enemy. So he might just let you go on your merry way doing what you're doing. But when you are walking with God, we need to expect that there is going to be resistance, but we also need to expect that God is going to make a way for us in that resistance to get to where he wants us to go. So what do we focus on? Where it says, don't focus on the things that are discouraging you, the things that are challenges. I have two thoughts about that. I mean, one, I don't think we just sit there and do nothing, you know, play dead. We actually have to do what we're being called to do. We have to use the abilities that we have been given, our gifts, in the way that God is calling us to use it for that particular challenge. And sometimes that means do something, and sometimes that means do nothing and rest in that presence of God. I had a friend that I had coffee with recently, and she's outside at a social distance, and she said to me, I'm just so tired. There have been battle after battle. I'm so tired. I am losing my faith. I'm questioning this whole church God thing. And one, I had to separate from her church from God. Sometimes you find them together, sometimes you don't. I just am putting that out there. Sometimes you don't. And we can't always identify people from the church as people who are genuine representatives of God. They might have good intentions, but the outcome of their actions may not reflect at all who Jesus is. So don't get God confused with humans. God is so not human. So we talked about, and all of a sudden when I was talking to her, I said, do you remember that poem, Footprints? Did you ever hear that poem, Footprints? And if you don't know that poem, it's a famous poem. Google it. Isn't it great? We can Google it. My kids like ask Alexa everything. Alexa, what's the answer to this math problem? Like, life is so easy for them. So anyway, Footprints, that's where I was at. It talks about how there are times in your life where you see two footprints in the sand. And this woman got to a point where she was looking back on her life. And those two footprints are your footprints and God's footprints. And there comes to a point where she only sees one set of footprints in the sand. And she's asking God, those were the hardest times in my life. Why did you leave me during those times? And God says to her in this poem, it was not that I left you. You're only seeing one print because it's those times that I carried you. And sometimes, friends, I feel like we have to let ourselves be carried and do nothing and just trust that God is near to us and he's going to reveal himself in different ways through the love of people around us, through messages we receive through the universe, through his word in the Bible. There's sometimes we have to rest in the fact that he is carrying us, even when we feel like there's only one set of footprints that we're walking this on our own. So that may be a time that you're in right now. It's not surprising because so many people are going through so much right now, but I just want you to remember that God is closer to you than you think in this very moment. What we have to identify in those moments is, what's the real enemy? Is it the battle that we're fighting? Is it that person or that situation? Is it a spiritual enemy who wants us to take our eyes off of God and trust in things that are not going to make a way for us, that are not going to get through to us in that moment? Who is the enemy in this moment, in whatever battle that you're fighting right now? Sometimes the enemy is us. We get in our own way of doing the things we know we need to do that are good for us. And again, in that moment, stay close to God, pray, ask God to reveal to you, okay, will you show me what the way is? And if you're not going to show me the whole picture, Just show me the next step. Give me the strength to get through what I'm getting through now. Help me to see the things that I need to be grateful for and thankful for. Help me to see the blessings in my life and let me see how you're working in my life. Let me hear your voice. I want to know when you're speaking to me. All of those things, every single one, I've had to pray at different points in my life. At a point in my life where I know that God is near me, but I still have to pray those prayers. One thing my client and I discussed was we need to speak life over a situation. So she said to me, the one thing I can do, because we talked about in this moment, you have to figure out, okay, what can you control and what can you not control? I oftentimes tell my clients, make two lists. What in this situation can we control? Because that's all where our focus needs to be. And what can we not control? Because that's all where our focus tends to be. And it only brings frustration and despair and discouragement because we can't control it. That's the list that we need to pray over. That's a list we need to say, God, you take this part because I don't have any control over that. I'm going to focus on this side of the list, the things that I can control. So I asked her, what can you control? And she said to me, I can control stop speaking negatively about it. I have to stop talking about this person who's really making me anxious and frustrated. I need to stop talking to other people about this person. I need to stop venting. Now, it's okay to vent like once or whatever, but when we're repeatedly talking about it, we are putting negativity into our world, into our universe. And that never really goes well. It doesn't go well for us. I don't believe it attracts positivity. And we're not speaking life over a situation. We're actually speaking darkness. We're speaking death, negativity. It doesn't help us. We create neural pathways to support those thoughts the more we speak them. And that shifts us into a constantly negative mindset. So what we want to do is we want to speak life, which means we want to speak the things that we know God is capable of. We want to speak solutions. We want to say things like, yes, this is frustrating, but God, we know that you're going to make a way for us. We know you're going to provide for us what we need today to get through today. We know that we are blessed in certain areas. Talk about those things. Speak of those things. Like in Philippians when Paul says, whatever is praiseworthy or lovely, think about those things, meditate on those things. And sometimes it's looking back and looking at the faithfulness of God. And then, yes, we do create neural pathways to support those thoughts because our brain, when we speak them often, says, hey, that's important. Let's ramp things up in here and support those thoughts. Our brain is neuroplastic. We can change it and then we can shift into a positive mindset. So speaking life not only strengthens our faith because then we see God work in that place. We're saying to God, we know that you can do this. We're expecting you to work. And God loves those kinds of prayers. We want to get away from speaking darkness over our life. And sometimes that's just talking about a negative situation over and over again. And the other part, like the Lord said to Moses, move on, have the Israelites move on. And, you know, they're thinking, how can we move on? There's a big sea here. But they move on because God makes that way. So how is God calling you to move on today? What is he calling you to do today? Maybe that means self-care, doing something for yourself. Maybe that means reaching out to someone for help. Maybe that means focusing on your family and spending time with them. Maybe that means doing the hard thing or having the hard conversation that you know you need to have. But ask God for that next thing. What is that next thing? And you'll have a sense of it. And if you don't have a sense of it, do the next thing that you need to do that day. We all have things we need to do. Do the next thing that you need to do. And I know as you're faithful to that, God will meet you somewhere in that process. I know for me and for many, the battle is distraction. It's distraction from the truth of who God is and what he's capable of doing in my life. It's distraction by the chaos in our world, by the negativity in our world. It's distraction by social media that takes my time away from the time that I could be spending with God or doing the other things that make me feel productive in my life. So distraction is a huge battle. So the reason I said in this podcast, I titled it Pick Your Battle, is because we have so many in 2020. There's so many battles, but choose the ones that you're going to turn over to God to say, God, I'm going to stand still on this one. And I'm going to let you fight this battle for me and engage in the ones where God has given you a clear purpose and your next steps in what you need to do. And often those battles are not as overwhelming. And if they are, we have to trust that God is going to give us the strength to do what we need to do. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy. There are hard things that we're called to, but he's going to meet us in it, just as we saw in this story. So I hope that's encouraging to you. I hope you can identify with this. I know this is a conversation that I have often with my clients. We don't always talk about scripture the way that we did in this session, but sometimes the Holy Spirit just shows up in my sessions and takes over, and you know, I listen and I go with it, because it's really an amazing thing to see unfold in this way. And as you've seen, it lines up with the psychology that I believe in and that I practice and that I believe that God has wired us for. I believe that we're hardwired for healing, and it does line up with truth that we find in scripture, but also in many areas of life. So again, I hope that's helpful, and I hope that you can choose your battle this week. I hope you can choose not to be anxious. And believe it or not, there are things that we can do, as I talked about in this podcast, that give us that choice. I hope you have a great week. Be well, live full, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening today. And if you have a second, go on the Apple Podcast app and rate this podcast. I want to know what you liked and what you didn't like and what you want more of. And connect with me. I'd love to hear from you on any of my social media. At Nero Feliciano, the Incidental Therapist on Facebook, and Nero Feliciano on Instagram. And you can also connect with me through my website, Nero Feliciano. So until the next time, have a great day, be well, and live full.